Our scripture text for today is from John chapter 15. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've been keeping chickens for about 9 years now, and I still don't think that I fully understand chicken life. There's an order to their life. There's a top chicken and a bottom chicken and everything in between. And the top chicken is the one who gets to come out of the coop first in the morning when the sun goes down. It's the top chicken that gets to go into roost first. When I toss food into the coop, it's the top chicken that sometimes rather aggressively gets to the food first. And I guess it's why they call it the pecking order. Can do some damage to the next one if they get in the way. And then it just goes down the line to the bottom chicken. I always feel sorry for the bottom chicken. It seems like a lonely existence, you know? And what really bugs me is there's a meanness to their life. I never see kindness. I don't know what chicken kindness would look like, but I never see it. There's no signs of them caring for each other. Maybe it's there. But I suppose they just got to look out for themselves. It's about them getting what they need. And I don't think they care about me either. They've started eating their eggs, and I'm nice to them. Like, I throw them treats and stuff. I mean, Chan came home from Haiti and she's cleaning out the refrigerator. And while I was gone, she threw a bunch of stuff away. She said it was disgusting. I was like, "Where are the strawberries?" She says, "The strawberries were growing a different color." I'm like, "Those were for the chickens." She just rolls her eyes at me and says, "You are not right." Our confirmation retreat was this weekend, and we had 17 seventh graders staying at the church. And we do a lot of awesome things. But one of the things that we do on the confirmation retreat is we begin working on our affirmation of faith. And we will be sharing this together in worship on Confirmation Sunday, May 19th. Well, the process of the affirmation of faith is just imagine the room, and we've got poster boards or papers, you know, taped all around. And on each of them is I believe what I believe about God. So we believe God is. We believe Jesus is. We believe the Holy Spirit is, the church, disciples, the Bible, and so on. And so we spend some pretty intense time brainstorming and just talking in groups about what do we believe about God? What do we believe about Jesus? So our text for today, I guess I was fresh off of that experience, and I'm like, well, what can I learn about Jesus from our text? And I decided this text is, what we learned is that Jesus gives us stuff. Jesus gives us his love. He says, "I love you as the Father has loved me. I give you my love." Jesus gives us joy. He says, "I give you my joy so that my joy can be in you and so that your joy can be complete." Then Jesus gives us a commandment. I give you my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, in our confirmation class, I'll give you a little sneak preview. When we got to talking about Jesus, and we says, what do we believe about Jesus? One of the confirmands said, well, Jesus is kind. And there was a general agreement. But then someone said, but he's serious too. And as we often do in this process, Matthew and Annabelle and I will say, well, what do you mean by that? And so this student began to unpack what he was thinking when he said, Jesus is serious. And it was stuff like, you know, like, he laughed and stuff. He was happy. So it wasn't like he's just always a serious person. But what we discerned was, is like, stuff matters to Jesus. Like, there are things that are important. To be serious means that it's important. It's important to care for each other. We're in this conversation. Finally, somebody says, Jesus is kind, and he's serious about kindness. Now, when we try to get at what it means for us to be the church, which is a big part of that process for us in the confirmation class, what does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus? What does that look like? And in the Bible, people will ask Jesus lots of questions, but one of them, what's most important? What is God serious about? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the striking thing about Jesus' answer is all of the law, all of the prophets, everything you've ever thought about what it means to be a person of God, a part of God's family, hangs on these two things, loving God and loving your neighbor. In my disciple Bible study class on Sunday night, we're reading Galatians and the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul can be sometimes hard to understand. He can say some things that seem contradictory or confusing, and it makes for a great conversation. Paul says, all the law hangs on love your neighbor as yourself. We think about how we're supposed to live. What is Christian life? What is my life? What Jesus is getting at, as he gives us everything we need, Jesus gives us God's love. Jesus gives us great joy. And Jesus gives us this commandment, this law, really. If you live this way, if you abide in this, then you're not worried about yourself. You're not worried about being top dog or top chicken. You're worried about bottom chicken. You're caring for one another. You're loving one another. This is the command that I give you, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you.
So when I was growing up, I can recall the very first telephone my parents got for our house. I remember the strange, shiny, black object as it sat on the end table in our family room. Though I was too young to use it, I used to listen as my mama would talk to it. I'll never forget the day I discovered somewhere within that amazing device lived an equally amazing person. And her name was Information Please. There wasn't anything that she did not know. Information Please could supply anybody's phone number and even the correct date and time. Crazy. My first personal experience with this genie in a strange, shiny black object occurred one day while my mother was out visiting a neighbor. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I went down to the basement to play at my dad's tool bench. And sure enough, I'd whacked my finger with a hammer. The pain was awful, but there didn't seem to be any real reason in crying because there wasn't anyone around to give me any sympathy. I walked around the house, sucking my throbbing finger, finally arriving in the family room. The telephone. So I ran to the phone and picked up the receiver. "Information, please," the sweetest voice would speak into my ear. "Information, I've hurt my finger." "Oh, isn't there someone at home to help you?" "Nobody but me." "Well, are you bleeding?" "No, but I whacked my finger with a hammer and it hurts."
"Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Can you get to your refrigerator?"
"Uh-huh."
"Well, go to your refrigerator, get yourself a piece of ice and put it on your finger. You'll feel better, I promise." Well, after that, I called Information Please for just about everything. I asked her for help with my geography, and she told me where Philadelphia is. And she told me that the chipmunk I caught would eat some fruit and nuts. Then there was the time our pet canary died. I called Information Please and told her the sad tale. She stopped what she was doing, took the time out of what I am sure was a very busy day, and said the things that adults might often say to console a child, but I was so unconsolable.
Why is it that birds can sing so pretty and make people so happy, only to end up
feet up on the bottom of a cage? She must have sensed my concern because she said, "Now, honey, don't you forget, there's a much better world to sing in." Somehow I felt better. When I was 10, my family moved from Knoxville, where I grew up, to Virginia. Now, I miss my friend very much, but in my 10-year-old brain, Information Please belonged in the phone back home in Knoxville. And I never thought to check the phone in Virginia. Yet as I grew into my teens, the memories of those precious childhood conversations never left me. Often in times of teenage angst, I recall what a sense of peace they offered. I appreciated then how kind she was to spend her time on a little boy. A few years later, I was on my way to college in Texas. My plane sat down in Atlanta with a couple of hours of layover, and I really wanted to call home. So without thinking what I was doing, I just picked up an airport phone and asked for Information Please. Well, believe it or not, I heard again the voice I knew so well. "Information." I hadn't planned on doing this, but I said, "Could you tell me where Philadelphia is?" There was a long pause, but then came this spoken reply. "I guess that finger must have healed by now." I laughed and said, "So it's really you? Oh, I have wondered for years if you ever knew what those conversations meant to me." She said, "Oh, honey, I've wondered the same thing. I never had any children. I so used to look forward to your calls." I told her how often I thought about her and asked if I could call again. She said, "Well, sure, honey. You just ask for Beth." Well, a few weeks later, I called. A different voice would answer Information Please, so I asked for Beth. "Are you a friend?" "Yes." "Honey, I'm sorry to tell you, but Beth passed away just a few days ago." And before I could hang up, she said, "Now, wait a minute. Didn't you say your name was Mark?" "Yes." "Well, Beth left you a message. She wrote it down here somewhere. Oh, here it is. I'll just read it. Tell him I still say there's a much better world to sing in. He'll know what I mean." I thanked her and hung up. And thankfully, as a child of God, I know exactly what she meant. Because you see, though she never knew it, in her own way, Beth was one of the earliest representations of the hands and feet of Christ. She never had to stop what she was doing. She never had to take the time out of a busy day. But I am so glad she did.